Happy Easter. I look forward to that every year. The great Alleluias, the Alleluia and the Happy Easter as we enter into this new life. And especially here at the Easter Vigil, as we hear over and over and over again God's loving mercy, as we hear reading after reading after reading after reading. And you thought my homilies were long. I was struck by the second reading today. You remember what that was, right? Oh yeah, Abraham and Isaac. It's interesting that the Jewish people believe that the mountain that Abraham went to, that mountain he climbed, that mountain range, is where they built the temple. Where they built the temple of the Lord. And you know, it's always kind of been one of these weird things in my mind as I've been saying, why is it that the Jewish people think that the blood of animals, goats and bullocks and the like, will take away sins, will be an acceptable offering to God? And I came across the answer not that long ago. And the answer is, all of this they see as a reflection, a sharing in the sacrifice of Abraham. That what Abraham did there on that day, being ready to offer his whole self by giving Isaac, we see in this the great faith of Abraham. It's not the blood of the goats or even the blood of his son, but the faith of Abraham. And then, because God stayed the knife and then said, okay, use that sheep in the or the goat or whatever it was in the thicket. Then we see that every other slaughter of an animal as part of the temple worship is a reflection of saying this is dying in place of us. And we as Christians then take this to another level, that even the faith of Abraham wasn't enough, but rather it was a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And in fact, we know historically that the crucifixion of Jesus took place very close to that Temple Mount and on that same mountain range where the temple was, where Abraham went to slaughter Isaac. We see in all of this God's loving plan. From the very beginning, He had planned how He was going to save humanity even after we fell. This is the mercy of God. He didn't go along for a while saying, okay, a couple thousand years have gone by. How am I going to ever bring them back to me? No, He knew. Even from that moment when Eve said, the serpent made me do it. And God said to the serpent, she will crush your head as you bite at his heel. Even from that moment, God has promised that He would forgive us, that He would wash us clean. He would send His Son to be one with us, to unite us to His heart, to wash us clean of our sin. The death of Christ is not just a historical event of 2,000 years ago, but rather it's something that God had planned from that first sin and is real and alive and meaningful for us here today. Do we allow the resurrection to touch our lives, to transform us? You see, Christ rising from the dead isn't just about how it's good that He kind of rose up, but He broke the power of death. He broke the power of sin so that we can have hope. And in this year of mercy, we look to the mercy of Almighty God and say, please pour out your mercy on me because I am a sinner. Now, this mercy is more than just the forgiveness of sins. Because you see, if that were all that it was, we'd keep falling and that wouldn't be enough. But God says, I will give you strength to become holy. I will make you holy. I've often pondered this, but especially in this year of mercy, do I really believe that I can be a saint? Theoretically, in my head, I know it's possible. Down to earth and practical, I don't think it looks so good. My confessors don't usually say the same thing, but they hear the whole dirty laundry list of everything going on in my life. But the truth is, God didn't make us to be mediocre. There is no person that God made that He said, I want you to be mild. I want you to be lukewarm. Got a few of you that I'm going to make sure get to hell, but the rest of you, okay. No, that's not how God works. God made everyone to be a saint.